And I want to remind you about that today. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You are special to God. Never forget that. You know, the world sometimes and circumstances may want you to think otherwise. That's why it's important for you and for me to remind ourselves, I belong to God. I am special. I am important. There's nobody else more important than you. When it comes to you and God, you are uniquely His. And He makes every one of us that important. Hallelujah. Well, during the last few weeks, we have been sharing from the Word of God concerning a particular spirit. And I don't know when I'm going to end this series, but I'm going to have to wrap it up at some point. Because there's so much more to this particular subject than meets the eye. And the more you explore it, the more you find out the more. Now, some of the things that we've talked about so far when we have addressed this particular subject of the Midianite spirit and the Amalekite spirit have been things like the fact that the Amalekite spirit is a spirit that operates in an atmosphere where depression is, confusion is. That's what it feeds on. The Bible says that God hates that particular spirit. And then we went on and we talked about the Midianite spirit. And the Midianite spirit is a spirit that wants to steal your stuff. It operates in conjunction with the Amalekite spirit. They work together. Now the Word of God went on further and described this Midianite spirit and associates it with the Ishmaelite. So now we have the third prong, the Ishmaelite spirit, which is also the Midianite spirit, which is connected to the Amalekite spirit. Now you have to get the entire series to get the seriousness of what we're talking about. We're just not just talking about Amalekite or Midianite. We're talking about the spirit and how these particular spirits operate. We talked about the fact that the Amalekite spirit is a spirit that goes after leadership. And its favorite weapon is stoning. It always wants to stone the leaders. It wants to attack leadership from every area. And once your leadership is shattered, you are done. A people without leadership are a people that will perish. Because, you see, the Bible tells us that when there is no vision, the people perish. And vision comes from the head. Now, one of the spirits that I want to talk about concerning the Midianite spirit is the spirit of Raven or Oreb. I will talk about that a little bit more in just a moment, because what this spirit wants to do, and Pastor Merrick just prayed about the spirit of discernment just a moment ago. It says, oh, the spirit of discernment, the spirit of discernment. Now, this is what that spirit goes after. It wants to shut out your ability to see clearly. Now, we've talked about most of these things. We talked about Cosby, a Midianite lady that took on an Israelite young man, and they came and flaunted their adulterous, immoral life before Moses and the eldership of Israel. And that lady's name, Cosby, means deceit, deceitfulness. I've not talked about any chapter yet. I'm just going around. We talked about the spirit of Agag, which is connected to the Amalekite spirit. This is a spirit that God hates. Now, let's go a little bit further. Last week, we talked about the Midianite spirit, and we talked about somewhat about Gideon. Let's go to the book of Judges, the seventh chapter. I want to welcome you all to the house of the Lord this wonderful Sunday morning. I know that the blessing of the Lord is with us. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 7. The book of Judges. Now, in the book of Judges, actually, let's start from the 6th chapter. Let's just go through the 6th chapter, and we'll come to the 7th chapter. This is what we talked about week last. It says, and the children, verse 1, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. In other words, he delivered them into the hands of the Midianites completely for 7 years. And what the Midianites did, the Bible tells us very clearly, it says, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Reason? Because God gave them, delivered them unto the Midianites. Therefore, Midian was able to prevail over Israel. And it says, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, remember we talked about these twin spirits, Midianites and Amalekites, they came up, and the Amalekites, and the third group listed here, the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. They destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents. They came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land primarily to do one thing, to destroy it. And Israel, it says in verses, was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, this was the game changer. They cried unto the Lord. In other words, they began to cry out to the Lord because they recognize that they needed help. Until you and I recognize that we are in need of help, and truly cry from the depths of our being to God and say, God, I need your help. Whatever it is I'm doing here is not working out as it should. Until you and I do that, you cannot have a response from God. God will not come and resolve your issue until there's a cry out. It is those who cry out to the Lord that get salvation. Let me say that again. You have to come to a place where you recognize your need for God and His help. As long as you keep on trying and thinking that you are smart enough to defeat the Midianites, to defeat the Amalekites, to defeat the children of the east that have come to rip you off, you will continually stay in a state of pain and anguish. Now they cried out to the Lord, and God responded. The Bible says, it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord, verse 8, sent a prophet. That is a key statement. God sent a prophet. There is always a prophet sent for a change of season in your life. And that's why the devil wants to make sure that the prophet in your life is not acknowledged or honored. And that's why the devil generates a lot of false prophets, so that people don't have a faith connection with their prophet. You see, throughout the scriptures, God has changed seasons in people's lives and circumstances through the voice of a prophet. If anything changes, it's going to be because of that prophet. And God sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. We said unto them, thus said the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppress you, and drove them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. So what was this factor that brought about this captivity and impoverishment for Israel? They had a fear for the God of the Amorites. They did not continue. Now, some other time I'll talk about the God of the Amorites. But for right now, God told them, don't be afraid of the gods of the Amorites. Now, why would God tell them, the Israelites, that he's bringing into this promised land, don't be afraid of the gods of the Amorites? Why? Is it because the gods of the Amorites weren't doing something? No. See, there are evil forces in the world that are active. God won't tell you not to be afraid of something if that thing is not going to generate fear. The devil is very real. Yeah? Evil forces are very real. And they can cause you to live in fear. Now, and the thing about evil forces is that they are very show-offy. They want to show off. They want to, enlarge their capacity more than they really are. The Bible tells us that when we finally see and eyeball the devil, we'll say, is it you? Is this little thing that was terrorizing the whole world? Because the devil makes himself bigger than he is. And so does the problems that you and I face. They make themselves bigger than they really are. And so circumstances can cause and generate fear and cause people to begin to compromise. God says, don't be afraid of these gods of the Amorites. He says, but you didn't listen to me. So because you didn't listen to me, I handed you over. What you are afraid of, God will hand you over to, because that has become your God. Whether it is the economy, your finances, your health, your whatever, whatever it is you are so concerned about, whatever it is that you focused on will become God over your life, and God has no choice but to let you be. Because God is not going to compete with anything else. Let's understand that. God will not compete with anything else. God remains sovereignly God all by himself. And if you want him to compete with something else, he's going to back off and say, I'm not going to reduce myself to competing with anything. If I'm going to do anything, I'm going to do it, and it's going to be obvious that I did it, and nothing competes with me. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which was in Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash the Abizite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now we know this story well. The Midianites are terrorizing Israel. We've talked about where these guys came from. We talked about all of their children and so on and so forth. Now, what transpired that brought about the demise of the Midianites was that God asked Gideon to put together a military force. Put a military force together. And God systematically begins to reduce the amount of people that he was going to use. And it brings us to a very difficult passage of scripture. If you may come with me to chapter 7 of Judges. The army in Judges 7 and verse, let's take it from verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the hosts of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand had saved me. God wants to make it very clear that if there's going to be salvation here, it's going to be his doing, not the power of their own hands. Now, let me say this to us right here. We talked about this last week, but I want to say it again today. This victory that God is about to give to you and I over the Midianite spirit and the Amalekite spirit is not going to be a result of your hard work. It's not because you're going to be doing 3-4 jobs. It's going to be because the forces of darkness, this Midianite spirit, are going to bring whatever it is that they've stolen from you back to you. They are going to have to hand it over. We talked about that from Isaiah chapter 60, and we'll visit Isaiah 60 again today at some point. So God says, there are too many. I don't want you guys to come here and say, we did it by our own power. It says, now verse 3, now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So we had 32,000, 22,000 are afraid, they leave. He says, go home. He's left with 10,000. And the Lord says unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Now, dogs stick their face into the water. So the position, for the camera's sake, I can't do it right now, of the 300 was not that of watchfulness. They are down there, I'm pulling the water up and lapping it. You have this other 9,700 with one knee down getting their water. God says, of the 300, I will use this 300. The 9,700 can go home. God reduced the army to the weakest level. That's exactly what he did. The point of strength for you and I is not in our natural ability, but in God and totally in God. Now, there's a place for watchfulness. There's a place for being strong, for being capable. The 9,700 were very capable people. These ones that are even addressed with the word D-O-G, they should be the ones that should be disqualified. But God decided to take the ones that were supposed to be disqualified and says, that's the one I'm going to use. These guys that are no good to nobody, I'm going to use them to demonstrate my power and bring about redemption for all Israel. God says to us, he says, look, Paul is speaking, he says, look, there are not very many smart people amongst you. But God wants to use the weak, the so-called hopeless people to dumbfound the wise. And in these last days, more than any other time, this is exactly what God wants to do. God wants to use a people that he can totally lead and direct because they are totally surrendered to him. Well, the instruction that Gideon gives to these 300, and notice Gideon didn't complain about it. He'd already gone through his own experience with God. He was assured of the very fact that God was going to be with him. He'd put out the fleece out in the field twice, and God did exactly as he had asked, and now he was totally convinced God was with him. So when God reduces the army to 300, he doesn't complain about it. He says in verse 7, the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lap will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. First thing I want you to understand here is this, that whoever it is that God needs and will use has to position themselves appropriately. This verse here says to us, he says, 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. Beneath him. Beneath him. Huh? And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. First then, for the leader, is this, that he must see the enemy beneath him. At one point, he was afraid of them. They were above him. But now he saw his enemy beneath him. There's got to be a change. There's got to be a change. Notice where the Midianites were situated. The Bible tells us that they were situated in the north. That's where they were situated. It says, verse 1, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of Midianites were on the north side of them. The north side is interesting, because it is from the north that promotion comes. And that's where Midian was positioned. Blessing, promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. The only place that is, the word of God says, does not attach to that word promotion, that's left out, is the north. Is Mount Zion the sides of the north, the city of our great king? The north is always a position of strength, the position of power. And that's where the Midianites were locked in. That's where they were. But what does this man of God do? He positions himself and he goes above. He takes a new position. I'm above you. And from that position of I'm above you, he puts the Midianites beneath him. He is looking at them. Sure, they are up there in the north, but he's going to take them out. But he's got 300 men. So what does he do? The Bible says he splits his army into three parts. But before he goes out, God wanted to make sure that Gideon was no longer afraid. So he says to Gideon, Gideon, if there's any ounce of fear in you, then I want you to do something. I want you to go to the camp of the Midianites with your servant Phurah. And when you get there, I want you to listen. So the Bible tells us that Gideon goes down, and when he gets to the camp of the Midianites with his servant Phurah, he hears a testimony. Phurah means branch. The Bible tells us that it is the branch that bears the fruit. Now, I want you to take note of that. It is the branch that bears the fruit, carries the fruit. So he takes a branch that is supposed to be a fruit bearer with him. Now, why? Why is God doing this? God is trying to say to you and trying to say to me, if you're going to defeat the Midianite spirit, you have to have fruitfulness on your mind. Now, that's important. I'm going to go a little bit deeper on that particular subject in just a moment. What we're talking about here is spiritual. This next wave of wealth transfer is a spiritual thing. It is not a natural, my strength, my ability thing. It is a spiritual thing. So he takes Phura with him. And the Bible says that when they head out there, this is what they heard. Verse 10, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phura, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phura his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host, and the Midianites and the Amalekites. The Midianites and the Amalekites, remember, those two work together. And all the children of the east, that is the third party, the third prong, lay along in the valley like grasshopper for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. Sand by the seaside? Where did we hear something like that before? Other than God speaking to Abraham about the promise. What is it the Midianites want? They want to be the manifestation of the promise. That's why they steal what belongs to you, because the Midianites were sent away without the inheritance. The inheritance belongs to Israel, belongs to Isaac. Abraham sends them away. Now they want that inheritance. And so they are carrying all of this. And secondly, remember the Midianites, we shared with you over and over again, that the Midianites always had these camels, and they had even their animals wearing precious jewelry. Have you been hearing stuff like that recently? Or through the years? Huh? Animals with expensive jewelry? That's the Midianite spirit. Huh? They're carrying your wealth. Right? All that wealth is coming back. Hallelujah. All that wealth is coming back. It is ours. It's been stolen, but it must be restored in Jesus' name. Now, so here they are with their camels. And they dress their camels with jewelry to intimidate those who shall have it. And say, listen, we're so loaded. Look at how poor you are. How many believers feel so poor? Oh, we don't have anything. Look at that. You know, you shouldn't be envious of anything that belongs to anyone that is a non-believer, because you have more than enough. Say, Pastor, but I don't see it. No, it's all coming back. This is the time. This is the season. As a prophet of God, I am coming to declare that the season is changing right now. Don't be afraid of the gods of the Amorites, whose land I have given to you. So, wait a minute. I thought it was ours. Oh, yeah. But the Bible tells us that the God of this world is the devil. So, because we sold out, the devil has influence and control over the natural world. Now God is bringing you into that same world and wants that wealth transferred to you, because he's giving you the world. Because the world belongs ultimately to him, to our God. not to the devil. God gave it to us. We lost it through the first Adam. Now it's been restored back to us. And now, here they are. They hear this testimony. Back to this testimony. Then went he down with Phurah and to the other side, and the Midianites, verse 12, and the Amalekites and all the children of the east are all over the place, like the seaside for multitude. Sand on the seaside for multitude. Verse 13, and when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it, and it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand had God delivered Midian and all the hosts. Wait a minute. How does this guy know this? The devil already knows that his time is up. And God is already terrorizing your enemy and causing them to behold their defeat. What the devil wants to do to you is for you to behold his so-called plans of defeat for you. And when you look at that, you get defeated. You get discouraged. Now, he learned that from God. God will put the fear of you into the hearts of your enemy. That's why God broke down Egypt. So the fear of the Jew, of the Israelite, was in the heart of the Egyptian. So that when the women, and I'm going to talk about the importance of women in this transfer, because women are crucial. And I'm going to spend the time one service just to talk about the anointing of the woman. Women are crucial for this reversal. So, here they are, the Midianites are already bamboozled by the dreams they are having, and here comes Gideon. He's encouraged. The Bible says in verse 15, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise. Someone shout, arise. Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Arise. In Isaiah chapter 60, the word of God says, arise. Gideon comes to the people of Israel and he says, arise. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. Put a trumpet on in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Strange. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, shall you do. In other words, I want us to be united. Watch for my leadership. And do exactly what I'm doing. When I blow with a trumpet or the shofar, and all that are with me, then blow, ye the trumpets also on every side, all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Remember that the Amalekite spirit and the Midianite spirit, because they work together, go against leadership. So here Gideon comes and says, what I want you to do, when we get there, you do exactly what I do. Those that are with me, when I blow my trumpet, and they blow their trumpet. You guys on the other side, two other parts, one part is left open. Do exactly what you see the leadership team here doing. Just that. Blow the trumpet. And then I want you to cry out the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon, verse 19 says, and so Gideon and the 100 men with that were with him came onto the outside of the camp in, watch this, in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. And this is what happens. And the 300 blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow it all. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. What was this sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon? The Bible tells us already, the man dreamt a dream, a loaf. A loaf of bread, barley bread, tumbled into the host of Midian. Bread, what's that? Bread is the word of God. Bread is the word of God. This change that is going to take place is going to take place because of the confession of our mouths. Listen, child of God. For those that will do this, you and I are going to experience supernatural wealth transfer. Let me say it again. It is not going to be based on how hard you have been working. It's going to be based on people bringing stuff and handing it over. It's going to be handed over. Do you understand? Handed over, given to you, released into your hands. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours, and you must position yourself to receive it. But one thing that you must not have is an attack on leadership. If you are attacking the leader that God has placed in your life, you are not going to be participants in this wealth transfer, because that's still attached to the Amalekite spirit. If you live in the world of fear, you are not going to receive the wealth transfer, because you're still living under the leadership and the influence of the Amalekite and Midianite spirit. They cried out. And they did that in a very strategic time. The first watch was just completed. The second watch, the middle watch, is coming in. And during that process of change is when they attacked. With what? With a confession. The sword of Gideon and the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. So what these Midianites and Amalekites and the children of the east were hearing from three sides: the sword of the Lord, the sword of Gideon. Guess what? They already have been speaking those words out of their mouth. This is nobody else but Gideon. Now they hear the name Gideon. They hear the word repeated again to their hearing. And confusion is all over the place. They wake up, those that are waking up, those that are just changing guard, those that were just trying to get themselves to rest, to sleep, they wake up and they begin attacking each other. Confusion. Now, that's what the Midianite and Amalekite spirit wants to bring to the body. The same weapon that they used against Israel, God is now using against them. But the confusion came about because now the people are one. They are united. They are not divided. They're not separated from each other. They are focused on the lordship of God and the leadership of Gideon. Are you ready for this? I'm about to take you somewhere now. The Bible tells us these guys are wiped out. But there are two princes. Verse 25 tells us about them. It says, actually, let me take it from verse 24. These guys are wiping themselves out, killing themselves. And Gideon sends messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim. Ephraim means fruitful. That's what that word, that name means. Saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Beth Bara. Beth Bara means the house of passage. And Jordan. Jordan means flowing down. That's what that word means. Then all the men of Ephraim, fruitfulness, gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Beth Bara, house of passage, and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites. Two princes of the Midianites. One is called Oreb, and the other one is called Zeb. Oreb and Zeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. Oreb and Zeb. Oreb means raven. These are two princes. And Zeb means wolf. Zeb, wolf, Oreb, raven. The raven is an unclean bird. The raven brings uncleanness into the body, to the people of God. And that spirit of uncleanness must be destroyed. The wolf spirit is a spirit of deception. It is also a spirit that creates our, a counterfeit kind of leadership. You say, Pastor, why do you say that, counterfeit kind of leadership? Because the wolf travels in a pack. But only two are allowed in that pack to reproduce. You have the alpha male and the beta female. And they reproduce but don't take care of their children. The rest of the pack takes care of those little, wolf children, puppies. They take care. It's a strange kind of leadership. Zeb is a deceiver, it's a trickster. Now, this wolf spirit, if you can believe this, up here in the north, amongst our natives, is supposed to be the creator. That's why you have in their totem pole the wolf. Okay? Remember what we talked about these spirits, that it is a spirit that is all over the world. It's not located in one particular place. This is a spirit that covers the whole earth, the Bible tells us. Right? So here you have Zeb, a spirit that is camouflaging itself through folklore that it is God. Are you with me? The raven and the wolf travel together. Those two spirits, they travel together in nature. They go together because the raven cannot, doesn't have a strong enough beak to kill a big animal and eat its flesh. It has to wait until it's getting rotten and it's softer. And so it travels with the wolf so that when the wolf attacks and starts to rip off, and wolves are gluttons. Okay? Wolves will eat 20 pounds of meat just like that. Okay? And that's small thing. You know, generally about 4 feet. You know, the biggest wolves are about six, you know, between 4.5 and 6 feet long. That's the very biggest ones. Okay? Now, they attack in packs. They work together in unity. This is a false kind of unity. And the world in itself is united in doing the wrong thing. Okay? And unity, when you have unity, you are very powerful. God, even our God, acknowledges that. This is a united people. You can't stop them. So that's why God created Babel, by creating confusion among the people. They started speaking different languages and couldn't do whatever it is they wanted to do. Here you have the world uniting itself together. And their purpose is to intimidate the people of God. And God is turning the tables around. God, speaking to us through Gideon here, says to Ephraim, fruitfulness. I want you, Ephraim, to come down and come to Bet Bara, the house of passage, the house of the way. Fruitfulness, come to the path of the way. Come to the path of the church that is connected to Jesus Christ, and flow down Jordan. And that's where they caught Raven and Zeb the wolf. What does the raven do? The raven, the one thing that the raven does that is unique is because it can attack the tissues of the flesh. It goes after two things: the eyes. And that's exactly what the devil would like to do. If the devil, the Amalekite spirit, can get you to be weak, he will go after your eyes. I noticed something many years ago, rather interesting, about the eyes. Let's say I'm watching television. If I'm watching television, I'm watching a program, and something that I should not see comes on, the first thing, I feel a pain in my eyes right away. It's like, there's a pain. It says, you're not supposed to watch that. And I change the channel. Ain't it, you know, it's happened for years. Finally, I said, why is it that my eyes, So now, once my eyes give me any kind of pain, like something's pushing on my eyes, even if I'm not watching it, and I feel it, I look up, I see it, change. That tells me the spirit of the raven wants to blind. It wants to go after your eyesight, and you need your ability to discern, to see, to receive supernatural wealth. What we're talking about now is supernatural wealth for the kingdom's sake. You and I have been harassed by the enemy. You've been working two jobs, three jobs, four jobs. You've been moving from one job to the other, thinking that's the job, that's your source. That's not your source. God is your source. God is your provider. God is the one who will meet your every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Does that mean that you don't work? Absolutely not. A man who will not work is not a real believer. It's worse than an infidel. God calls us to work. Work is not a bad thing. Work is not a result of sin. God worked, and he rested from all his works. Work is a good thing, but your work is not your source. God is. God is the one who multiplies you. God is the one who increases you. God is the one who establishes you. God is the one who promotes you. And you need to settle that in your spirit right now. Hallelujah. You need to settle that in your spirit. God is my source. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, child of God, today, I want you to remind yourself about this. We need to behead the spirit of Oreb and Zeb. And it is men and women who know that they are fruitful that are called to do so. Notice Gideon invited fruitfulness to do it. Gideon did not do that battle. He did not fight that battle. He defeated the Midianites, but they had two princes. The prince is not the king. He's the son of the king. And their little demonic forces, Oreb and Zeb, that need to be beheaded. They must be slain. Say, how are we going to do that? We are going to do so by declaring our fruitfulness and that we are the people who have the passage and who are flowing down with the goodness of God. That's the Jordan. The Jordan is a river of transformation. That's right. The Jordan is what you cross to go into your promises, the promised land of your life. The Jordan is the river that is crossed by Elijah, and when he crossed when they crossed that river, Elijah came back a different man with a double portion anointing. That's the Jordan. The Jordan is where Jesus is baptized. And right there, there is the manifestation of that which is like a dove that says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is a place of being chosen. You and I need to understand that we are the redeemed of the Lord, that we are the chosen of the Lord, that we need not have fear operational in our lives, that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, what things do we need to do for this transformation to take place? We've identified the enemy and so on and so forth. But come with me to Isaiah chapter 42. One of the key things that we know that we need to do as believers in defeating these spirits, one, we need to be united. We need to be united under leadership. In Exodus chapter 17, Moses' hands were lifted up, and so it is that Joshua was able to defeat the Amalekites. In Judges chapter 7, we read about the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. In Isaiah chapter 42, I'm going to take it from verse 10 through 17. We need to understand that this battle is the Lord's battle. It says, sing unto the Lord, verse 10, a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Remember, we talked about Kedar last week. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. We are the inhabitants of the rock. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. These are the enemies of the Lord. When the world wants to do a concert, they will spend millions upon millions upon millions on just stage. If we as believers spend millions on anything, somebody is liable to complain. How come we had to spend all that money? You know why we complain? Because we don't have it. That's why. If you had billions of dollars and you spend $1 million or $10 million for a stage because you want to preach the gospel, who cares? You have billions. But if you only had 10 million and you spent 2 million, we should have spent the money better than this, blah, 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 and we start griping. You know, with our mouth, we limit our abilities because we think too little of ourselves because we compare ourselves with the world. The church and the people of God should have the best. You know, can you imagine Solomon building the temple? It was a wonder of the world. Gold everywhere. My God and your God is not poor. No, he's not. So the word of God says here, our attitude needs to change. God shall prevail against his enemies. His enemies have taken the wealth that belongs to his sons and his daughters and squandered it, hiring people to roll joint. Yeah. It's incredible what the world does with the wealth of this world. How wasteful it is. He goes on, I have long time holding my peace. God saying, basically, it's a new day. It's different now. He said, I've held my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. It's going to be a quick work. And remember what we talked about last week, about within 1 year, Kedar shall be destroyed. God says, I'm going to do a quick work. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. I'll make the rivers islands and I'll dry up their pools. And I'll bring the blind by way that they knew not. Who is the blind? Those ones that the ravens have blinded. He said, I'm going to bring them by way that they knew not. Passageway. Are you with me? I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images and say to molten images, ye are our gods. They're going to be ashamed. God is taking on this battle. It is his battle. So sing, shout, praise. The battle is mine. Hallelujah. The victory is ours in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the word of God says to us in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your head covered with the helmet of salvation. Have on the belt of truth. Take on the shield of faith by which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then he says, pray in always. Actually, let me come with me there to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 16, Ephesians 6. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench, all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then it says, you have the colon. How do you do this? How do you take this helmet of salvation and this sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? Verse 18. See, that colon there is a Greek, it's actually a Greek word, this particular colon. It's a Greek word, dia. By the way of. That's what it means. By the way of. This, how you're going to take this sword of the Spirit and the helmet? By the way of praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth. What's the word, next word? Boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Hallelujah. Boldness. Now, Isaiah chapter 60, as I begin to wrap this up. So, what was the point, Pastor, that you just made? Point I was just making there is this. Get dressed, fully clothed, and remember this, the importance of prayer in your life. Remember the importance of prayer in your life. Now, what kind of prayer? Is this a prayer of begging? No. This is a prayer, first of all, of crying out to God for the change that needs to take place. And secondly, it's a prayer of declaring the plans and purposes of God concerning you and concerning me. In other words, it's a proclamation of the word of the Lord. Amen? Now, Isaiah chapter 60, as we wrap up. The word again is the word arise. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness a people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. His glory shall be seen upon thee. Now, let me remind us that that word glory, first time it is used, is in reference to wealth. And basically, God is saying, you know, just like those Midianites, that have their camels all dressed up with their wealth, you are going to wear your wealth. People are going to see you. You see, when God started his prosperity blessing upon his servants by covenant, it was very contrary to the way that the world showed its wealth. For those who were wealthy, they wore it on themselves. God blessed his people, and it was by circumcision. It was not seen in the natural, their covenant market. In the natural, if you went to Nigeria, for example, you'll see in some tribes markings on the faces. That's to show what covenant relationships they have way back then. Who can hurt them and who cannot hurt them, who they are related with. Now, with God, the manifestation of the blessing on your life was that whatever it is that you did is blessed. You didn't have to wear the gold or the diamond. Just whatever it is that you're doing was blessed. Now God says, I am going to so bless you. I'm going to take all that wealth, transfer it onto you. And you are going to be known as a blessing, not only by what you touch, but it is going to be so manifest on you that people see you. They see your house, they see your car, they see your clothes, they see whatever it is that you're wearing, everything that you're doing, they say, that's got to be a blessed man. And most of this blessing is coming because of the glory of God that is inside of you first and foremost. Okay? Now, I want you to watch this because this is going to change something for us right here as I wrap up. It says, darkness is going to cover the earth, but people grows darkness. But it says in verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. There is a rising. You are going to be raised up, and you are going to shine as light. Now, light is something interesting. Light is bold. Is that all right? Light is bold. Light has no fear. Amen? If there was darkness here and you switch on the light shines so brightly that it's obvious that's light. People need to be very clear about who you are, that you are a believer, because the wealth is going to come to those that are identifiable. The wealth is not coming to pretend believers. It's coming to people who stand out loud and clear. I'm a child of God. In the office, because the blessing is going to come to your office. The manager or whoever is of the spirit of Amalek or the Midianite, whoever, they will be looking out for you because they cannot sleep. Remember the dream? Gideon's dream? Huh? The dream? It's nobody else but. They are going to be calling your name. Man, I've got... What's that lady's name? Aline Minot. Okay. I better go give her the money. That's exactly what's going to happen. And I'm telling you now, it's not going to take long. It's going to start happening this year. We've stepped into it this year. It's happening already. They are going to come and they're going to hand you over. They're going to bring contracts and hand it over. Just hand it over. Not because of anything that you did. Not even because you are qualified to do it. Yeah, it's not because you call. They have to get rid of this stuff. If I keep on going on Isaiah chapter 6, I'm not going to be done. So let me just go to James, and then I'll wrap it up here. I'll deal with this some other time. But for your benefit, read James Isaiah chapter 60 through, in light of what we've been talking about, and let God minister the integrity of His word to your spirit. James chapter 5. Hear these words. Go to now. So it says, go to what? Now. There's a place called now. And that's the place that you and I need to position ourselves. In the place called now. Not tomorrow. Now. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. This is what God is saying. The wealth that they have is going to be eaten them up. That they want to let go of it. Like right now. This is like acid. Get rid of it. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. What did the word of God say? You've heaped up treasures for what? The last days. And remember what we said at the very beginning of this series. We said that God has saved the Amalekite spirit for the last day. It's the last battle. It's the last battle. It's stated in the word of God. I read it to you many times. Right? It's the last battle. God hates the spirit, and God says, when you've come to your rest, then this is what's going to happen. The next battle is the Amalekite spirit. Get rid of it. Get rid of this Midianite spirit, because they work together. Okay? So they are heaping all their treasures for the last days. It's all there. Heaped up. Now, be the one that they come distributing it to. They don't come to everybody. It's going to come to those who've positioned themselves. It's going to come to those who were willing to come to the fight. They are going to be active participants in this blessing. Do you qualify yourself to be part of it? Would you allow God to trust you with a change that is coming? Or are you going to belittle God's grace for your life by thinking so small of yourself and what God can do with your life, and thinking that things are more important than you? Nothing is more important than you. Nothing. And if you think, oh, this is too good for me, you are disqualifying yourself from the best that God has for you, because God has so much more for you. I know, child of God, don't be envious and jealous of your brother when they're making it. Celebrate their breakthrough. As you celebrate their breakthrough, you're declaring that you are next in line. That same God who's blessed them can also bless you. Don't be asking what makes them so special that they got that. Nothing. Because this is not for those mighty and strong. This is for you. Qualify yourself by declaring out of your mouth, I have been chosen to be blessed of God. And the spirit of Zeb and the spirit of Oreb shall not triumph around me, neither shall the spirit of the Midianites or the Amalekites or the Ishmaelites, they shall not triumph around me. Kedar and Nebot are going to bring their resources and their wealth to me. I am positioning myself to receive everything. I am going to be above and not beneath. Gideon stood and he saw the Midianites beneath him. Where do you see your enemy? They may have been heaping everything and blocking you from your resources that come from the north, but now God is cleaning them out for your sake. Now, when God blesses you and I, it is for His kingdom's sake. But God will not deny you the blessing of the increase. Rise with me. Let us pray. Those in Winnipeg, next Sunday we're going to have a baptism at the church. Trust that those that are going to be baptized get themselves ready. Change of clothes and towel and whatever else that you need to do. Don't forget to do that. Pastor Maria says women should wear bra under their clothes. Hallelujah. Child of God, are you ready for what God is stating out very clearly? If you feel like what we're talking about here seems impossible in the natural, yes, it is. But that's not where you need to put your faith now. You need to put your faith and make a connection with fruitfulness. That's harvest. That's harvest. You've been sowing. I know you've been sowing. Here, there, and many believers all across this globe. And you've not seen your results because the Midianites have been busy destroying whatever it is that needs to be destroyed. But the change has come. God said, I'm going to take this fight on. I'm going to turn this thing around. This is not your battle, it's mine. But you need to position yourself. So as we pray right now, I want you to position yourself to receive guidance from above. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for supernatural eyesight. You said you will take even the blind through a path, a way that they've not been before, and give to your people new experiences, because you're going to fight for us. Lord, oh God, we trust you for this fight, because it is a fight of faith. Gideon had no swords, but he proclaimed that he had a sword. He had the sword of the Lord, and he had his own sword. The people said, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. But physically they had nothing. All they had was a trumpet, a pitcher with a lamp in it. And as they went, they broke the pitcher, and the light shined brightly. So, Lord, oh God, in Jesus' name, we declare, oh God, that your light will shine brightly through us and in us. Lord, oh God, that there will be a transformation that takes place now. For our dependence is on you, not on our abilities. Father, we cry out change. We cry out restore. Let there be restoration, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. We declare in the name of Jesus that the fruitfulness in our lives is causing the spirit of Oreb and Zeb to be slain, beheaded. So, Lord, oh God, that victory may be established amongst your people. We declare that it's a new day. Let change take place now. Let increase come our way. Lord, the women of Israel stripped Egypt bare. Let the anointing come upon your handmaidens. to strip the world. Lord, O God, you have also declared that your bride is the church. Bride, except in the natural world with their confusion, it's a woman, it's female. So, Lord, O God, as your church, we receive that grace, that anointing, that will strip the world of its wealth. Because, Lord, you cause that which they have, even now, which truly belongs to us, to become poison to them, that they release it. We declare, let the wealth of the Gentiles, the wealth of the wicked, come now into our hands. For your kingdom's sake, for your glory's sake, that your glory may be seen on us, not on the world, but on us, your people. Therefore, we arise and we shine, for your glory is risen upon us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.